So I have the privilege to speak after all the previous speakers, and I dare say that most of what I had planned to say has already been covered by previous presentations. But revision is the mother of learning, so I will use these slides quite quickly. They are pictorial slides, so it will be fairly easy and light, especially for this time of the day. So there is, as it has become apparent from the presentations in this afternoon, there is a sort of chain according to which we start from some primary sources, let's say. Out of these sources, we identify useful data sets, and out of these useful data sets, we generate translation knowledge. So let's term it, let's call it a value chain. And now the activities in this value chain, they can be identified as follows. We start with identification and selection of sources and data. Since data may be coming from different sources, they may refer to different languages or language pairs. They may refer to different domains and different genres. They may be monolingual or parallel. They may be corpora, or they may be terminologies or lexica. We need to provide some basic documentation. I mean, just a simple batch of files will not be enough, will not tell the developers of the system much. Now, depending on the state in which these data sets exist, we have to provide some basic cleaning and possibly convert them if they are not in a directly usable format. And then we have to validate the result of this cleaning and conversion process. And as soon as we have validated the result of the process, we go on with more, if you want, task-specific processing, like multi-level alignment. Sentence alignment is the first level of processing if the data is parallel, and then we go on with phrase alignment, word alignment, etc. And as soon as the data has been processed, it is again documented and stored away so that it can be reused not only by the developers of system A and B, but by all of us. So very quickly, let me take you through these steps. I mean, almost one by one. So the first thing that we would like to do together with, ELRC and the public sector representatives is identification of sources. Points in the government, points in the public authorities where we should together, if you want, look for useful data sets. And as soon as these sources are identified, then we will start digging into the data sets themselves. As it has become apparent by the presentation of Mr. Michalek, but also by the short dialogue in the previous panel, one of the first things that we have to look into is the legal state of the particular source. So there are two things. There are there is a public sector information directive on which, as I said at the beginning, we base, if you want, this this endeavor. And then there is all the ammunition that is provided by the open licensing framework, namely and notably the Creative Commons licensing framework that is progressively used by more and more public sector organizations and governments. So PSI and Creative Commons are the first, if you want, choices. Wherever we see that something appears on the site of a ministry or something appears on any site and it is licensed clearly, very clearly, with a very clear mark under a Creative Commons license, then we should go for it. As soon as the legal issues are more or less resolved, we go on with data formats and some technical stuff. I think André Boyer presented it very, very clearly. We are in for everything that is in digital form. So TXT files, DOC files, XLS files, HTML files, XML files, anything is useful. PDFs are also useful, but they are less useful if you want. So in fact, if you know of a large collection of PDF documents, then ideally, if this collection of the PDF documents is in your organization, then we would like to get the source out of which the PDF has been created, not the PDF itself. So if there is a doc or an XLS out of which the PDF has been created, we would like to get, together with you, from you, the doc or the XLS source. We would like to refrain from all sorts of digitization or OCRing in this process. Right. And as soon as this has been completed, we should provide, together with you, some sort of basic identification elements, like what is the domain of the particular data set. It comes from the Ministry of Justice, so it is relevant to the DSI under CEF that will power the e-justice services. The year that it has been published, the languages, etc. Right. Some technical issues, some further technical issues that we would like to address is, first of all, as modern technology has accepted at least one standard that has to do with character encoding, we would like to beg for getting any data set in UTF-8. Okay? And ideally, we would like to have any formatting discarded. This is something that we can do together, or you can do it yourselves, or we can do it. I mean, it depends. The most important is to get the data sets first. So what do we mean by discarded formatting? Suppose that this is a document. Again, this is Greek-English with all sorts of underlines, italics, bold characters, boldface strings, etc. What we would like to get is something that is really plain, okay? Plain text with no formatting at all. One of the issues that has also been mentioned before, although it is a technical issue in our minds, it can touch upon legal complexities, is personal data and the ensuing need for anonymization. So one word about data anonymization. It can be done. It cannot be done perfectly. And of course, anonymization is not just the removal of names. Supposing that it were just the removal of names, then one can think of simple lexical approaches. So you identify a large source of data on individuals, organizations, etc., and then you apply some sort of matching between your document and the list, and you take away and you replace with X and Ys the data on individuals and organizations. Or if we are more technically advanced, we can use tools like those that can recognize names, names of various things, notably, in case of anonymization, of persons and organizations, and then replace the recognized names with generic placeholders. However, as I said before, you cannot only identify an entity, an organization, or mostly a person or an individual by his name. So, I mean, you know my name by now, but if you do not call me by my name and you just describe me by the Greek speaking person that is that was in Malastrana on Tuesday the 15th of December, most probably you directly point to me. If you enlarge the area of Prague, not in Malastrana but in the Prague center, since yesterday I met I heard people speaking Greek in the center, in the touristic area of the center, it may not be as easy to identify me fully. But in any case, to keep it short, data anonymization is a process. There are tools for this, but it is not 100% certain, if you want, process. Right. So, whatever tool you use to anonymize and protect data, etc., you have to validate the result of the process and decide whether the result is acceptable or the whole data set should be rejected. Right. And as soon as the data is there, clean, in a perfect condition, if you want, you can go on with further processing. Most probably, the most useful thing that one can do is to proceed to sentence alignment. So just to create a lexicon of sentences, sentence A in language one to sentence A prime in language two, or sentence B in language one to sentences B prime and sentence C prime in language two, depending on how the originals have been translated. And again, if you have processed the data set, it would be good to update, if you want, the documentation of the particular data set, because the data set in the previous case was just a set of parallel documents. For instance, now it is an aligned set of parallel documents. And then you are more than welcome and invited to upload the data set to the data repository. Now, which data repository? I can give you one example here. This is a data repository that you can get access to through the LR coordination website, where you can get access to a very simple editing facility. You just provide some data and about the data set, and then you upload the data set. Right, sorry for this, but I can... okay, here it is. Right, then... These are things that I've been mentioning that we can do together. We can identify sources together. We can identify and select data sets together. There are things that we can do from the visible sources, if you want, the visible site of your websites. The visible side of your websites can be harvested automatically by any tool. The same can happen, the same data sets can be provided by you, because you know what is there in your websites. You can certainly help us and boost this identification of visible sources. How can we help? We can help in the following ways. There is already a portal that is up and running, and it is the portal that you used to register for this workshop. So the portal is available at www.lr-coordination.eu, and there you can have an idea, for instance, of all the events that have been taking place. or you can get access to the repository by clicking to this link resources. Most importantly, at least we want to believe, you can get access to a help desk. You can ask questions or you can browse frequently asked questions and their answers. So if you have a question that may have to do, for instance, with the legal nature of the documents of the National Institute of Standards, okay? If you want, you can pose this question to the help desk, and we will do our best to provide the most appropriate and most valid answer to the particular question. There is also a web forum. This is a place where people can talk, if you want, about the problems, the questions, but also the solutions. This is already in place, and it is now started being used. Right. So, I mean, if there is anything that has become apparent, not only in this room, but I mean in the greater area today, is that data is really important. Huh? There is so much that we can do out of the data that we already have. Be it monolingual data, out of monolingual data, as we said, we can build very useful language models. We can build models that tell us what the right language in a particular domain, in a particular genre, in a particular language looks like or sounds like. Parallel data are of utmost importance. These are the most difficult, if you want, data to source. Parallel data in particular domains are of utmost importance. Parallel data in the domain of health or social security will be used to power the digital service infrastructure that targets the European Social Security Service. Parallel data from the area of culture, ministries of culture, will be used to power the translation engines that will be used for and by the Europeana infrastructure, which again is another digital service infrastructure that is covered by CEF.AT. There are parallel data in the area of transport, parallel data in the area of open dispute resolution, although this is not a specific domain. All these sorts of parallel data in particular domains are of utmost importance for what we're doing today. If you have any question at any point in time, feel free to ask this question to us through the help desk, through the forum, or through the telephone, Skype, email. I mean, all sorts of channels are there. And of course, do not hesitate, and I'm sure that he would be more than glad to get your questions. Do not hesitate to contact Jan Heitz, who will always be your technical national anchor point. And I guess that we will also find the way to organize, if you want, the collaboration with the public national anchor points so that you can also address public administration-related questions to Mrs. Tsernikova. Right. I think that I would leave this presentation at this point. Just to repeat, we're looking for data for powering machine translation engines in particular domains for the public sector, for us, for all of us, and in particular for you, for all the languages. Talking about what data we need three types of data: parallel data in each and every domain, monolingual data in each and every domain, terminologies, lexica, etc., are also very, very, very useful. So thank you very much, and I leave it to you.
Okay, děkuji za poslední prezentaci. Já jsem měl ještě připravený Děkuji. Já jsem ještě připravenou jednu prezentaci, ale ve skutečnosti vlastně všechno to, co jsme vám chtěli říct, a to včetně toho, jakým způsobem konkrétně se můžete zapojit, vlastně jsme slyšeli jednak teď a jednak vlastně už v průběhu jak těch panelů, tak těch prezentací, takže už nebudu zdržovat. A jenom bych připomněl ještě jednou, že samozřejmě pokud budete mít jakýkoliv dotaz a ať už na to, jakým způsobem vy můžete využívat, ať už dnešních možností, to znamená MTATC, nebo přímo našich služeb v uvozovkách, které my poskytujeme v té výzkumné infrastruktuře nebo na našem pracovišti, tak samozřejmě dejte mi vědět. A pochopitelně, pokud by ty otázky byly typu, že máte data a skutečně byste měli zájem, abychom ty data mohli využívat právě pro vylepšení těch technologií ve vaší doméně konkrétní, tak samozřejmě to budu rovněž velmi rád, když se domluvíme. Jak bylo vidět, nemusí to být úplně triviální ta data získat. Mluvili jsme tady o Ústavu normalizace měření, tam jsou jistá pravidla ISO, co se dá s těmi daty dělat a jak se dají získat. Může tam být problém s těmi překlady, jak jsme slyšeli předtím, že pokud vaše smlouvy na překlady nebyly z tohoto hlediska dobře formulovány, může se stát, že ta minulá data nemůžeme používat a budeme rádi, když bychom mohli skonzultovat, jak upravit například smlouvy s agenturami vašich úřadů, aby aspoň do budoucna se ta data používat mohla. Tak tohle všechno, jak vidíte, jsme schopni udělat. Máme jednak tu právní pomoc tady lokální, která ví o tom, jak to vypadá v Česku, tak viděli jste pana Michálka, máme ještě další dva právníky, s kterými spolupracujeme. Máme dva právníky na úrovni celoevropské, to znamená tam, kde je potřeba se domlouvat a šlo by o nějakou komplikaci nebo nějaký vztah k jiným zemím, tak rovněž můžeme tu konzultaci zprostředkovat a myslím si, že bylo dobře to směrovat k tomu, aby ta data alespoň do budoucna byla využitelná jak pro výzkum, tak pro další potřeby, které jak ta výzkumná komunita v Česku nebo v Evropě může poskytnout, protože jednou se to vrátí samozřejmě zpátky. Tady například to MTATC sice začalo před 2 lety, se otevřelo, jestli správně počítám, nicméně pracovalo se na něm od roku 2008, ale to už přímo v komisi. Ty nástroje, o kterých jsme tady mluvili, zejména ten systém MOSES, ty se vyvíjely, řekněme, od roku 2003, ale zase to nebylo úplně od nuly, to bylo proto, že od roku 99 byl vlastně k dispozici software jakýsi předchůdce, ten se jmenoval GIZA, který umožňoval experimenty v té výzkumné oblasti a pak se to všechno spojilo dohromady. Konec konců ta metodologie, která se dneska používá, vlastně pochází z roku 90, ten první článek IBM, kde tuhle metodologii vymysleli, je právě z roku 90 a celé to bylo umožněno tím, že v Kanadě je zákon o tom, že všechno musí být dvojazyčné. Takže v roce 90, což je z dnešního pohledu trochu prehistorie, jak internetu, tak vůbec počítačů jako takových, tak byly k dispozici 140 milionů slov, čili to je téměř velikost toho našeho pracně získaného po 10 letech česko-anglického korpusu, byla k dispozici v tom roce 90 a vlastně ty první experimenty probíhaly právě na tomto parlamentním korpusu, kde prostě ze zákona v Kanadě musí být překlad jak z angličtiny do francouzštiny, tak obráceně. A díky tomu, to je vlastně jaksi, jak to mám říct, matka všech paralelních korpusů byl právě tento takzvaný Hansard z té Kanady a postupně prostě takhle to vznikalo. Takže to, že dneska třeba ty korpusy vaše z těch jednotlivých domén jsou malé, nebo ještě se k ním ani nedá dostat, neznamená, že se na tom nemá začít pracovat, protože budeme rádi, když například za 10 let by ta technologie potom se posunula natolik, že by byla použitelná, tak jak v některých případech dneska je použitelná ta technologie, právě proto, že postupně ta data se do toho získala a samozřejmě ty metody se upravily. Takže já myslím, že bychom mohli v podstatě to dnes uzavřít. jak říkal Stelios, obraťte se klidně na mě, s jakýmkoliv dotazem byste okolo tohoto měli. Budeme rádi, když nám také vyplníte, nezapomeňte na ty dotazníčky, jak ty, které dneska tu nechte na stole nebo na tady vzadu na židli, tak potom ty další, kdybyste nám už mohli napsat klidně za týden, nebo no tak za týden ne, to jsou Vánoce, ale řekněme ještě tento týden jakoukoliv informaci, která byla užitečná. Určitě se znáte i mezi těmi úřady státní správy, i ty, kteří tu dneska nebyli. Omlouvala se mi třeba Česká národní banka, tak na ty kontakt mám, protože ty už se nám registrovali, jenom nepřišli. Ale že o těch státních úřadů je mnoho. Pan kolega Svoboda říkal, že našel skutečné překladové týmy jenom v několika, ale jsem přesvědčen, že nějakým způsobem musí překlady zvládat i jinde. Zase, kdyby byl jakýkoliv kontakt, my už potom těm lidem třeba napíšeme, stačilo by nám opravdu dát odkaz. A to též se týká těch dat samotných. Pokud vy sami používáte ve své praxi nějaká data, tak jak jsme to tady slyšeli, tedy centrálně, že existují terminologické databáze, paralelní korpusy, tak my budeme rádi. Všechno tohle se nakonec jednou vrátí uživatelům, kteří vlastně ta data poskytují. Takže ještě jednou děkuji za účast a já bych úplně na závěr dal opět slovo panu Piperidisovi, aby řekl úplně něco na závěr a z pohledu celého tohoto projektu.
Right. So first of all, thank you very much. Thank you for staying till so late today. What I forgot to tell you before is the following. The experience from the workshops that we have already had shows one thing. The day, the way we have prepared it is quite packed. There is quite a lot that is communicated to you. And in many cases, there is quite a lot that is communicated to us. So it takes time to digest. To give you an example, in one of the workshops that was held in September, back in September, so almost 2.5 months ago, we kept discussing with various stakeholders. And it was only after 6 weeks, 1.5 months, that people from Ministry A and Ministry B came up to us and said, well, you know, as we were classifying our things in the translation department of the ministry, we thought that this particular collection should be useful for your purposes. Would you like to discuss this? So it was, 6 weeks. Huh? It takes 6 weeks somehow to digest, okay? And it also takes us time to understand how every particular case has to be handled. In the workshop that we had last week, for instance, just to give you an example, the public sector representatives agreed among themselves that they will hold a meeting of representatives of ministries, internal meeting, okay, in January, just to organize how they will go about organizing their own part of sharing their resources for their languages with the common pool. In Greece, that I can also talk about, we had two meetings with fewer people, two shorter meetings. The Bank of Greece was there because, the banks translate quite a lot of stuff. They have to. The Ministry of Public Administration was also there, and things are progressing. Things will never progress at light speed. It takes time, but we're getting there, and I'm pretty sure that we will get there in the Czech Republic too. So once again, on my side, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Jan and Katarina. Thanks a lot to the people who participated in the panels and gave their talks. And of course, thanks a lot to the interpreters. Without you, I mean, today for me, it would have been really, really hard. Thank you very much. Best wishes for the season. Thank you.